understand one aspect of kingdom living. But we'll begin in Matthew chapter 2. That's a good place to start. Matthew chapter 2, and this ties in with the theme or this time of year, this season, this Christmas season. As Greg mentioned, this time of year, it's very easy to minister to your neighbors and your family because their hearts are open. And you can invite them to Jesus or invite them to church. You invite them to Jesus, that's preferable.
Amen.
Amen. But if you don't feel comfortable with that, invite them to church. Or do both. Get them saved and bring them. Amen. You bring them, we'll feed them. How's that? We'll feed them. Notice Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. It says, "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they'd opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." Now, this is the story of the Magi, or the wise men, as they're referred to. And they're depicted in just about every Christmas story that we see. But there are some things about these men that we could talk about for days. But here are some facts you need to know. Number one, we don't know how many wise men there were. The Bible doesn't say there were three. There could have been two. There could have been 20. We don't know. We do know the gifts that they brought. And the gifts had great significance because these men had insight to the degree that they understood why this child was born. They knew that he was more than just the King of the Jews. And it was reflected in the gifts that they brought. And those three gifts are gold, a gift suited for a king, because they knew this child would reign. They brought frankincense, which is a spice that is offered up on the altar of incense. It's burned. And that has to do with his priestly function. They knew that he was a king. They knew that he would be a priest. Now, the Bible says there's one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. And in his current ministry today, he is seated in heaven at God's right hand as our high priest to represent us to the Father, to intercede for us in the kingdom of God. And they brought myrrh. Myrrh was a spice that was used in the embalming process. These men had insight enough to know not only was he born to be a king, not only was he born to be a priest, but he was born to die. If you remember the story in the Gospel of John, after Jesus was crucified, a Pharisee named Joseph of Arimathea begged for Jesus' body, and he and Nicodemus brought 100-pound weight of spices, myrrh and aloe, so that they could embalm his body and wrap it for burial. And that's what they did. So these magi, or wise men, knew that he was a king, he was a priest, and it would be accomplished through his death. And so they understood why he came. What I want to talk to you about this morning is a principle that I call giving and receiving. It's a kingdom principle. So we're talking about kingdom living. You know, if you're in Jesus Christ, you're part of a kingdom. That is where God exerts his rule and his authority, and it is a great place to be. The Bible says that God has delivered us from the authority or jurisdiction of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And so all of us in Jesus Christ are part of the kingdom of God. And so as members of the kingdom of God, we should know how to live in that kingdom. Jesus talked a lot about the kingdom of God. And so I'm going to share some of those principles with you. Now, giving and receiving. Jesus obviously was the greatest giver because he poured out his life. He gave the ultimate sacrifice so that we could be free. You know, part of the Christmas story you'll find in the Gospel of Luke, early on in the Gospel of Luke, There was a man named Zacharias, and he was a priest, and he was up in age, and his wife's name was Elizabeth, and she had never had children. Zacharias was fulfilling his priestly duties one day, and an angel appeared to him. Scared the daylights out of this brother. That's normally what happens when people see an angel. Angels are not little fat babies with wings. I don't know if you knew that or not. But the Bible says they excel in strength and power. They are sent forth to be ministers for those who shall be heirs of salvation. That's you and that's me. Jesus talked about the little children having angels that stand before the face of the Father. They're awesome. Yes. In the Old Testament, one angel went through the Assyrian camp one night. Israel was in battle. And one angel, one, killed 186,000 men. One. So angels are pretty tough. So this angel appears to Zacharias as he's fulfilling his duties and says, your wife's going to have a son. And he is going to prepare the way for the Messiah. And Zacharias didn't believe it. He said, show me a sign. Show me something so that I know you're telling me the truth. And the angel said, I'll give you a sign. You will not be able to speak until this child is born. See, there's something about words that are important to God. Zacharias said, how do I know you're telling me the truth? He said, man, I stand before God. And you doubt my credibility? You doubt the authenticity of this message? Here's a sign for you. You won't be able to say a word till this baby's born. So he fulfills his duties. He comes out of the temple and he must have had this look of shock on his face. And people figured, man, he must have had a vision. Sure enough, he did. Well, the story goes on. He and his wife conceived. They had a son. And she and Mary were cousins. The same angel appeared to Mary and said, you're going to have his son. You'll name him Jesus, for he shall deliver his people from his sins. And Mary said something a little different than Zacharias. She didn't say, how do I know you're telling me the truth? She said, how's this going to happen? He said, the power of the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you, and he'll overshadow you. Therefore, that thing that's born of you shall be called the Son of God. She said, be it unto me according to your word. Well, after John was born, all the relatives, you know how families are, all the relatives say, oh, we're going to name this cute little baby Zacharias. And his mother said, no, we're going to name him John. They say, what? Ain't nobody in the family named John. You crazy? We're naming him after his papa. And so they came to Zacharias and said, we're going to name him Zacharias, right? He said, give me something to write with. He didn't say it, but he's like, and he wrote, his name is John. And as soon as he wrote that, his tongue was loosed. He was able to speak. The Holy Ghost came on him, and he prophesied. And he said that the child born, not John, but the one that he would introduce to the world, would be born to deliver us from our enemies and the hand of all that hate us. That's why Jesus came, to deliver you from your enemies and those that hate you. But he did that by taking you out of one kingdom and putting you in another. And so we need to know how to live in that kingdom. And so it came because Jesus gave. He paid the ultimate sacrifice. So let's talk about giving and receiving. Let's talk about it. Jesus was also a recipient. We see in Matthew 2:11 that his family received these gifts from these magi: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 8. We're in Matthew. Go over a couple books to Luke. Luke chapter 8. Kingdom living, giving and receiving. Obviously, Jesus is the greatest giver. But he also received gold, frankincense, myrrh. Notice Luke chapter 8. We'll start with verse 1. And it says, and it came to pass afterward that they went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him, and certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, notice this, which ministered unto him of their substance. There were people who followed Jesus in his ministry, and you know what they did? They gave to make sure that they had everything they needed to minister effectively. They were givers. Now, in the kingdom of God, there is a principle of giving and receiving. Now, how can we express? There are a lot of things that we can give. And of course, the obvious one is money. And some people say, oh, see, there's a preacher talking about money again. No, I very rarely talk about money. I do. But money is important. We need money to get the job done. Amen? Now, let me show you something about the kingdom of God and a lifestyle of giving and receiving. Jesus had people who followed his ministry, and a lot of these women, and Susanna, the wife of Herod's steward. Now, if you were steward to the king, that's like saying you were his business manager. You took all of you took care of all of his financial affairs. You ran his household. You made sure that the bills got paid in the palace. You made sure that the income was there. This woman was not broke. Are you with me? And minister to him of her substance. Now, what does the Bible say about giving? Jesus said in Luke 6:38, give, and it shall be given unto you. Again, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. That is a kingdom principle or a key that can unlock doors for you. Now, I'll tell you what happened to me this morning, and it came to me. I had to make an early run early this morning. So I had my red sweatpants on, my red plaid shirt, my barn jacket, and a hat. And if you'd have seen me out in public, you'd have known it was me, but hardly anybody knew who I was. I had to make a run. Well, when I got back to the house, I got out of my car, headed to the front door, and realized I had a problem. See, I have multiple keychains. I have one keychain with my house keys on it. I have another keychain with church keys on. Well, I got out of my car with the church keys. Now, I have climbing clips. You know, like people when they do mountain climbing and you have the ropes, you have the little clips. I have those clips on both my keychains so I can move my car keys from one to the other. So it doesn't matter if I got house keys or church keys. I can put my car keys on the chain. Well, my car keys were on the church key chain. And I'm standing on the front porch, and I realize I'm not going to get in the house because I got the wrong keys. Now, I had them in the car, and so I had to go back to the car, take my car keys off the church keychain, put them on the house keychain. I left them in the car. But here's why I share that story. Many of us do the same things with our life. We're trying to get entry, access into certain things. You got to use the right key, or you're not getting in. The Bible speaks about giving, the tithe, the tenth. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you won't have room enough to contain it. Well, if you want to open that window, there's a key. It's called the tithe, the tenth. Hey, I didn't make this up. This is in the Bible. Jesus said, give and it shall be given unto you. We want the second half. Well, how do you get the second half? Do the first half. Are you with me? That is the key that opens that door. And I've been there many times. One time, I realized I was in a situation, we were struggling a little bit. I had to look back and see, man, why is this door not opening? I wasn't using the right key. Amen? Use the key, the door will open. Give, and it'll be given to you. Amen? A lifestyle of giving and receiving. Now, let me show you something here. Turn in your Bibles now to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I could drive this point home, but I think this verse will really reveal some things to you. We're talking about kingdom living. A lifestyle of giving and receiving. Philippians chapter 4. This is a verse that I think everybody in the room probably knows. Philippians 4. Notice verse 19. If you got it, say I got it. Notice what it says. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Yes, amen, that's right. My God shall supply all my need. Wait a minute. Slow your roll, brother. Let's back up a little bit. Notice verse 15 in that same chapter. Paul, writing to this Gentile church, said this. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again to my necessity, not because I desired a gift, but I desired fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And then he said, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Why was he able to say that about this church in Philippi? Because they had used the key. They had given to him time and again. And to be honest with you, they were the only church that did it. The Corinthian church didn't do it. The Colossian church didn't do it. Are you with me? The Roman church didn't do it. But these churches in Philippi were faithful to Paul the apostle in their giving. And it wasn't because he needed it, but he wanted fruit to abound on their account. Are y'all learning anything? Because they had given to his necessity again and again, Paul was able to say, my God will supply all your need. Because they had used the key to open the door. Are you with me? You know, one of the things that I often look for when I'm trying to find people to do things, leaders, you with me? People that I can depend on. I primarily look at two things. And every pastor, if he's got a half a brain and good sense, will do the same thing. Looking for faithful people and giving people. You with me? Amen. If they're not givers, I can't have them lead anything. Well, Pastor Bill, you know, we're all in different places. Yeah, I know. I know that with all my heart. But the Bible says a faithful man shall abound with blessing. Are you with me? Now, Jesus said this, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In other words, your heart follows your treasure. And most of us consider treasure to be that which deals or has to do with money. So your heart follows your money. So if you want to know where someone's heart is, look at their money. If you can't say amen, say, oh me. Okay. And there have been times I've had people that were talented, gifted, you know, just, oh my goodness. But I knew their heart wasn't with it. It was evident because their money wasn't there. Are you with me? Now listen, I have an obligation as a pastor to lead and guide and teach. I lead by example. I've been a tither since 1979. That's a long time. God's word always works. Well, Pastor Bill, I can't afford to tithe. You can't afford not to. Amen. You've been having that mindset for decades and nothing's changed. You're still struggling. Amen. And you will continue to struggle. Because you're trying to get in the door and you don't have the right key. Am I helping anybody this morning? Amen. You stand there all day. I don't care how pretty your keys look. They ain't going to work. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You got to use the right key if you want to get in the door. Now, I had enough sense to know on my front porch this morning when I looked at that keychain, these keys don't work. I got to go get the keys that work. But thank God they're only about 10 feet away. All right? I got the keys, put it in the door, went into my house like I always do. Are you with me? So there is a key called giving and receiving. So here are some things that we can give. Obviously, we can give of our finances, our money. The Bible commands us to do so. Jesus said, give and it shall be given unto you again. And God said, concerning the tenth, He said, prove me. It's the only place in the Bible He said, see if I don't knock your socks off. Amen? The only place in the Scripture He said, see if I don't knock your socks off.
Amen.
I'll bless you with too much. That's literally what He said.
Jesus, glory.
Amen? Now, what else can we give and receive? Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew. No, not Matthew. Let's go to Mark chapter 14. Mark 14. Mark chapter 14. And this is a great account. I think all of us remember the story. Mark chapter 14. And here was an instance when a woman came into the house of a Pharisee named Simon. Simon happened to be a leper. But notice Mark 14, verse 6. This woman came in, had an alabaster box, very precious. Actually, this stuff was about a year's worth of salary. That's how much it cost. She broke the box, poured it on Jesus' head, and there were some that got angry. Why was this waste made? Because we could have sold it and given it to the poor. You know who said that? Judas. You know why he said it? He had sticky fingers. He was a thief. He saw all that money dripping down Jesus' hair. And he's like, oh, man. Do you know how expensive that stuff was? Jesus, we could have sold that and given it to the poor. Yeah, you could have got your cut. That's what you're upset about. But I want you to notice what Jesus said about this woman. Notice Mark 14, 6. And Jesus said, leave her alone. Why trouble her? She has done this good work on me. For you have the poor with you always, and you can minister to them anytime you want to. But me, you don't have always. She has done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Truly I say to you that wherever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she has done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. He said everybody's going to know about this woman. So she did give of her substance, her money. It cost her a year's worth of salary to buy this precious perfume. But more importantly, she gave him her devotion. She was devoted to him. And it was expressed by what she did. It showed you where her heart was. And other gospels record the same instance, but you know, one gospel records, you know, Simon sitting across the table watching this, and he got kind of snooty. He said, if this dude really was a prophet, he'd know what kind of woman that is hanging around his feet. She had a reputation. And Jesus perceived his thoughts by the Holy Ghost. Said, Simon, he said, let me ask you a question. If two people were forgiven, one of a little, one of a lot, who's going to be more thankful? He said, I guess the one who was forgiven of a lot. And he said, yep. He said, her sins, though there were many, are forgiven. And your sins, this is my paraphrase now, although you think they're not many, you can hang on to them. Okay. He that loves much was forgiven of much. But he that loves little was forgiven little. There's a principle there. She needed forgiveness. And so she expressed it by her devotion. She gave and received. Here are some other things that we can express by giving and receiving that go beyond just money, just go beyond our devotion. You know, the second thing that we need to look for is how devoted are people. What's another word for devotion? Faithful. You know? Here's a little tip for you. If you're looking for somebody to spend the rest of your life with, make sure they're faithful. Faithful to the things of God. Faithful to you. Amen?
Amen.
I could really get into some trouble here. Meddle. Meddle. Meddling. I'm not going to do it. Meddling. David Ingalls used to write, he wrote a song years ago called Meddling. You know, that's where that expression came from. If you can't say amen, say oh me. I'm not going to meddle today. Devotion, faithfulness. The Bible says that a faithful man shall abound with blessing. That is a kingdom principle. It works. It's tried and true. It's worked for thousands of years. The Bible also says that confidence in an unfaithful man in a time of trouble is like having a broken tooth or a broken ankle. They are very painful. Are you with me? And many times, you know, you work with people, you see people, they do well, and they're faithful to a certain degree, and you're ready to give them that next assignment, and then all of a sudden you turn around and like, what happened to them? Where'd they go? What's up with that? They got right to the door and dropped out. You miss a great blessing that way. See, a faithful person will endure to the end, come hell or high water. Good times, bad times, trouble, doesn't matter. They're faithful. They stick with you. Amen. Have you ever wondered why people in the United States of America love their pets so much? Have you ever thought about that? See, I get up in the morning and I go downstairs and I have a female Weimaraner who's 5 years old. And every morning when I go down to the kitchen, that tail is wagging. She's sitting on her hind paws. She's got her neck up because she knows I can rub it good. She just wants me to rub her neck. And so I'll go down there. I'm not even thinking. I'll just rub her neck and grab it, you know, and she's all happy. And then when I take her out into the garage to go out into the yard so she can do her business, she'll always stop, rub up against me. You know, she wants me to grab her by the neck and rub her belly and rub her chest. Without fail, every day for 5 years, she does the same thing. You know why people love their pets so much? Because pets relatively don't give you any trouble. They're faithful. Hey, your dog depends on you for food, she'll be there. Okay? You know, your cat depends on you for food, she'll be there. They're faithful. Sometimes people aren't. Amen? But we've got to have the determination that we're going to press through come hell or high water. I don't care what happens. I'm still here. I don't change. Are you with me? All right. So devotion is important. What else can we give as kingdom living people? Here's something we can give: the gift of listening. Listening. I told a guy the other day, this is what I said to him. He's sitting in a chair blabbing. I said, two ears, one mouth. You need to learn how to listen more than you talk. Amen. He got it. How often do we go through life and not really listen to people? Most of the time when there is miscommunication, it's because somebody's not listening. Or many times when strife pops up, it's because somebody wasn't listening. Are you with me? Hey, this is really important in a marriage relationship. You want your marriage to thrive. You want your relationships to thrive. You need to have good, honest, open communication. And you need to listen. Hey, I've done a lot of marriage counseling in my years in ministry. And there have been times I've counseled with couples. And they did a lot of talking, but weren't doing a whole lot of listening. And I, you know, one time I counseled a couple and they were just, man, it was like, let me get out of the way. And so I pushed my chair back and I just let them have at it. And so 2.5 hours later, I'm just sitting there listening and they're going at it. I said, you know what your problem is? I said, you guys are not talking to each other, you're talking past each other. You're not really listening to each other. See, and there's a skill to listening. Many times you can diffuse an explosive situation if you'll just listen to people. You know? And the reason so many people are frustrated in our culture today is nobody will listen to them. And I'm serious. Call a phone company. What do you get? A machine. A computer. Call the electric company. What do you get? An automated response. Ain't nobody listening to you. There's a commercial out right now about a credit card company where a guy calls up and they get a live person. Whoa. Remember, you've seen the commercial? Whoa, you're a live person. Well, we live in a culture that's driven by technology. And, you know, we need to master the art of communication. Sitting down. One thing that I recommend for married couples or couples in general, all right, you need to be covenant couples, married couples. You need to have time where you sit down and you talk. Just talk about stuff. Talk about what you do. Talk about, see, in that way, all this stuff doesn't build up in your relationship that can become explosive down the road. Right. Learn to talk to each other. Amen. Two ears, one mouth. That means you should listen more than you talk. Amen? Amen? Some of us like to talk a lot. Are you with me?
Yes.
Amen. All you ladies say amen. Now, guys, you know the gals talk a lot, so, hey, just learn how to listen. Pay attention. Did you hear what I said? Mm-hmm. What'd I say? Well, you said that, you know, the reason Jim Bob had this problem is blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? You need to listen and pay attention. Now, it's tough for a guy. You know why it's tough for guys? Because, you know, guys are headliners. Women are detail-oriented. Okay? See, guys, if you're married and your wife calls you up and says, hey, how was your day today? You say, good. Well, that's nice, but she wants more than that. All right? She wants details. So learn to give a few details. And then when she says, you know, when you say, how was your day today? And she starts in and goes from A to Z and covers every point. Pay attention. Listen. I mean, really, how long is it going to take? So what if you're there for an hour and a half? You ain't got nothing better to do. Your life will be so much richer if you would just learn how to listen. The gift of listening. Here's another one. The gift of laughter. When's the last time you had a good laugh? Hey, do you know you can be a Christian and have fun?
Yeah.
Did you realize that?
Yeah.
I remember about a year and a half ago, my sister Beverly and I were having a conversation. And, you know, our family is such a great source of laughter. Because we got some nuts in our family tree. We got some crazy people do some dumb stuff. And we were talking about some stuff. And my sister said something to me, and I bust out laughing. I was laughing so hard. I mean, I was almost crying. And my sister said to me, she said, Dave, it's good to hear you laugh like that. Oh, if it's a healthy thing to laugh. Amen? Not, I'm going to go there. Not long ago, Valerie and I went to Cleveland for dinner with another couple, several people, and I provided the transportation. And so now it's late at night, we got back, and we're dropping these people off. And it just so happens that they had a difficult time getting out of the seat, the rear seat of my vehicle. And so instead of getting out the right way, they had to turn around, do this. And I'm sitting up there, and Valerie's sitting around. I turn around and look. I see these people trying to... I busted out laughing. I started laughing. And, you know, you're not supposed to laugh at people. So what I do what I do. When you're busting out laughing, just say, I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing with you. Yeah. I was crying. I was laughing so hard. All you needed was the little sound, beep, beep, beep. But it struck me as funny. I'm telling you, I laughed all the way home. The gift of laughter. It's okay to have fun. We don't have to be so serious all the time. You know, lighten it up a little bit. Life's too short to go through life. I mean, some Christians live their life like they've been baptized in vinegar. Pickle juice. Got a sour disposition. Man, lighten up. Laugh. You know, there's a lot of stuff to laugh at. Have fun. Amen? The gift of laughter. Here's another one. The gift of affection. Guys, I'm going to address this to you. Hugs, kisses, pats on the back. When's the last time you and your girl went down the street holding hands? Well, Pastor Young, I'm not 15. No, you're not. You're 45. Nothing wrong with holding hands. Nothing wrong with showing affection. You with me? Hey, listen, here's a tip for you. You can show affection without it being sexual. Did you know that? You know, now our culture won't teach you that.
That's right.
I was watching a show last night, and what was it, some awards show. And Val said, "Did you see what that woman had on?" I'm like, "Ooh, my goodness. Good Lord." You know why some people dress like that? Now, please, if you dress like that, just look straight ahead and smile. Nobody knows. See, spandex ain't for everybody. But I had an employee who used to work for me many, many years ago. And every once in a while, she would put on this outfit. And you know what I used to call it? Her man catcher suit. Man catcher. You know what it is? You're crying for attention. Hey, look at me. Look what I got. Look at, you know. Well, you don't need to show everything you got. All right? Sometimes you need to keep it to yourself. But you know why? People are crying for attention. Okay? But you can show affection without it being wrong. Without it being a sexual thing. Okay? Hey, live a godly life. There are benefits to living for God. Amen? So the gift of affection, hugs, kisses, pats on the back, hand holding. You can do that with your kids. All right? But especially with the people that you love. Here's another one. How often do we do this? The gift of a written note. Anybody ever do something nice for you?
Yeah.
It's always nice when people write notes.
Yes.
You know? I keep thank you cards and notes that I get from people from time to time. And not that I solicit them. I don't. But there have been times I've ministered to people or taught something or done whatever, and I'll get a card, I'll get a note. Pastor Young, that really helped me. Man, that's good. You know, that's part of what keeps me going, doing what I do. But how often do we write a note and express our appreciation to somebody? We rarely do. But see, that's something we need to do more of. I mean, what's it going to cost you? 15 cents? And about 3 minutes of your time? The gift of a written note. How about the gift of a compliment? That's something that we can all give. A compliment. All of us need encouragement.
Yes.
It's always good to encourage people. You know? Oh man, I like that jacket. Ooh, I have a distant cousin who's in ministry. He's on Facebook a lot. This dude, I'm telling you, I went to his birthday party about 10 years ago. He was the saddest man I'd ever seen in my life. He was going through some marital difficulty. And, you know, his wife had left him. And here he's celebrating his birthday. And we come all the way from Erie to Cleveland to help this guy celebrate his birthday. He's sitting at the table with his birthday cake, head down, dejected. He was diagnosed with colon cancer. Beat that. Then he had a quadruple bypass. Survived that. Then he had all these problems. You know, this woman he married left him, and he was just so down in the dumps. And I said, man, that brother's sad. He needs to change the scenery. Well, he took some advice, moved from Cleveland to Phoenix, Arizona, and he is thriving. He is thriving. And every time you see him, he is dressed to the nines. This brother's old school like me, only I'm not that dressy, flashy. But man, he is, man, I'm telling you, guy got the gaiters on and the matching shirt and the vest and the hat with the feather in it, you know. You know how some of y'all dress up on the weekend, you know. And so I told him, I said, hey, you know, I called him Q. I said, hey, Q, when I grow up, I want to be just like you. You know, because he's always looking so happy now. But I compliment him on the way he dresses because he's sharp. Nothing wrong with that. Here's another one. The gift of a favor. How often do we go out of our way to do special things for people? Go above and beyond the norm. You know what I mean? Never hurts to do that. Give people more than they expect. The gift of a favor. Now, sometimes people will ask of you, you know, hey, Mike, can you do me a favor? Don't just say, yeah. Find out what it is first. You know, and invariably in ministry, you expose yourself to people. And there are some people, you know, who don't have the right motive all the time and they want to take advantage of you. I remember a couple that we helped one time. They needed a place to stay. Their grandma had passed away, and we decided, okay, we'll help you. Well, they thought that was great. So they come back the next day. We need another favor. Yeah, what's that? We can't pay for grandma's funeral. I said, okay. Wonder if you'd write us a check to pay for the funeral. No. I don't know you. And I'm not paying for... Well, they won't release grandma unless we pay for it. I said, she's going to stay where she is then. You can't help everybody. But you can help some people. Nothing wrong with doing a special favor for people. Amen. Once in a while. Amen? You know, one of the ways I met Pastor Martin in Tulsa, and he told a story when he was here, I think this past year. He was in a situation where his car broke down and they didn't have transportation. So I would leave, and before going to work, I'd go help them run around so he could get to work, and then I'd go to work. I did that with another couple one time. Guy lost his job, and his wife was a private duty nurse on the south end of Tulsa, and I worked 11 to 7, and he had no car, no job, no way for her to get to work, and they had 5 kids. I said, you know what? I'll help you. I'll take your wife to work and I'll pick her up in the morning till you get on your feet. Only took a few weeks. Took me way out of my way. It meant an extra hour and a half a day for me to drive it. But you know what? Not long after that, a pastor from Texas sent them a check so they could buy a car. And the pastor said, we just wanted to bless you. Sent him a check for $6,000. They went out and bought a good car. He got another job. He was able to finish Bible college. And when they left to go back to Texas and preach the gospel, they came by my apartment. And here they pulled up in their newer car, all these little heads in the car, you know, they're 5 kids. They said, hey, we just want to thank you for doing us a favor. I said, no problem. I wish somebody would do it for me if I were in the same situation. Amen? Amen. Giving and receiving. Amen. All right? Let's finish these real quick. Here's another one. Sometimes you need to give the gift of solitude, peace, and quiet. Sometimes people need their space. Amen. Sometimes you need to send them to the mall. Are you with me? Maybe send them on a trip. Maybe buy them a day at the spa. Maybe just let them get away and relax a little bit. Amen? And here's another one. We can all do this. The gift of a cheerful disposition. It doesn't hurt you to be polite. It doesn't hurt you to be courteous. It doesn't hurt you to smile. You know, it takes fewer muscles to smile than it does to frown. Smile. Say thank you. Yes. Say, how you doing? What's up? That's our modern culture. What's up? You know? I got some people that I see, that's just how they are. I don't say, hi, how you doing? I say, hey, tell them what's up. But they know that you care about them. Amen? Amen? We'll talk more about kingdom living There are a lot of things that are involved in the kingdom of God, but one of the major principles is giving and receiving. That's what I wanted to share with you today. Amen. Did you learn anything today? Did I help you at all?
Always.
Amen. Would you stand with me, please?